Greetings, it's Steve again with the inspiration for this morning. This morning we're going to go to Romans, start in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 2 is talking about circumcision versus uncircumcision and how the Jews, because they were of the circumcision, they considered themselves better. But then it's trying to make the point that the Gentiles who do the deeds. Okay. Let's see. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. That's chapter 2, verse 29. Then chapter 3 says, and what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? So he's saying if the Gentiles have the same opportunity, then what's the big deal? What's the advantage of being a Jew? It says, much everywhere, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. So the Jews had the oracles of God. They had the word of God. God spoke to the Jews. God raised from the Jews, he raised up the prophets. And so that's the advantage. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yeah, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. And so he's trying to make the point here that, you know, let God be true and every man a liar. Our mouth is stopped before God. We have nothing to say. And let's go to verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proven both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, with their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. So, well, let's just stop there a little bit and just think about what he's just said. He's talking about how, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And he's just going down through there, showing us how undone or unable we are in ourselves to accomplish anything that we do is by the grace of God and by faith in him. And so all this keeping of the law and whatever is trying to make the point that we could never do it. So verse 19, now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. So he's saying that here, by keeping the law, nobody's going to be saved. You know, whether it was Jews in the Old Testament or whatever, nobody's ever going to be saved by keeping the law. And then he makes a point that the reason the law was given, therefore that by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in sight, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. So if there was no law, we would not know what sin is. We would not recognize sin. We would not know what is good or evil if we would not know the law, if we would not have the law. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation or a sacrifice or a replacement for through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. There's that word, believeth again. Where is boasting then? Is excluded. By what law? Of works, nay, but by law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yeah, we establish the law. So, he's saying that everybody is justified by faith, whether it was an Old Testament saint, let's see, is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, the Gentiles also. So anyway, he's trying to make the point here that, yes, again, it's by believing, it's by having faith. In the Old Testament, it was basically having faith in God. It wasn't, you know, Jesus hasn't been here yet, but he was a promise. There was a Messiah going to come, a Redeemer, and they were justified by believing God's promise, and that's how they were made righteous. And then it goes in chapter 4. It goes into Abraham. It says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So let's just go to Genesis chapter 15, where that whole account is found of Abraham and his promise there. So, okay, so, well, let's just read the whole promise there. Abraham, Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And so, that's the promise that God is giving him. He says, I'm your shield, and I'm your exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And here's where it then says, And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. So there, God gives Abraham this wonderful promise. First of all, he said, I'm your shield, and I'm your exceeding great reward. And Abraham, thinking more naturally, thinking, you know, I don't have any heirs, you know, what for reward are you going to give me? And so God says that he's going to have a son, that Abraham will have offspring. And so that's when he says, and he believed, Abraham believed it. He just simply believed God. He believed God's promise. Just said, you know, okay, I believe it. And God said, you're righteous. perfect. It was counted to him for righteous. It was like it was given to him. That righteousness was handed to him. You are now righteous. Because he believed. And the same thing is true for us today. You know, God also has given us many promises, and as we believe them, it is counted to us for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so we have a choice to make. Now, one of the things that Abraham didn't stop there. I mean, he continued to walk with God. He didn't just sit back and say that, you know, now I have the promise. You know, I'm righteous. No, he continued. This was even before he was circumcised. But later, you know, God gave him a sign of his promise, and he gave him circumcision. And Abraham didn't hesitate to follow through. And the same thing, you know, we can, as we see the promises of God, as we see what God requires, as we see what God's heart is for us, we can also take hold of that and believe and be rewarded according to God's promise. So I think we'll end it there for this time. And maybe for the next one, we'll have a little bit about David yet, and some Psalms or something like that. But anyway, a lot more that could be said. So the Lord bless you. Any questions? You can always call me, 717-824-5350. Thank you.